Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the Sacred Masculine Show. I am your host, Reverend Jay. Thank you for checking in this evening. Let me tell you a little bit about the Sacred Masculine Show. The Sacred Masculine Show is a place for spiritual brothers and the women that love them, doing regular stuff for love, family, community, careers, and wealth. Although this program is moderated by masculine individuals, this show addresses the ideas and views of all those seeking to know and live the peace or peace of God or by any other name they may address. This show may also include a humorous and human side of knowing God. So to those who have come to the realization that they are perfectly imperfect, you are indeed in the right place. Welcome home. Tonight's guest, very special guest, is Mr. Atlee St. John. I want to tell you a little bit about this young man. The Earl Grey School of Business and Management. He comes to us with experience in finance. His past fields include consumer lending, resident mortgage. He currently specializes in retirement and investment. Pressing, they can get back to doing what they love, and that's living life. Mr. St. John, welcome.
Thank you. Yes, sir. I appreciate that fine and graceful introduction. This is the show to be on, from what I hear.
Yes, sir.
All right. So it's all about the sacred masculine. I like that, man, the sacred masculine. If I can be part of that in terms of your mission and your goal, I know that you mentioned in there wealth, so I definitely would love to share with your listeners a few things that we like to kind of focus on when it comes to wealth and that piece of the machine, that part of the machine, that forgotten aspect of the struggle, as I like to call it. So definitely, so I appreciate it. Thank you for letting me on.
And no problem. Thank you for coming. Want to say something about the show. We got a little technical difficulties here. I don't know what's going on with this.
You were kind of breaking up there a little bit. I don't know what was happening.
Yeah, it's a sometimes I make, you know, we're looking at the looks like the switchboard's a little bit better. How's it sounding now?
Yeah, you sound pretty clear now. I can hear you.
Okay, so we're moving forward. Want to say this about the show. A lot of folks are like, oh, sacred masculine, what can I do to be a part of this show? The truth is that we are all sacred masculine. So when I say a place for spiritual brothers, you know, the truth is that we are all spiritual brothers. We all live in life. If you ask most men, what do they want? The common answer that you're going to get, in addition to money and love and women and sex, you're probably going to get the word happy. And we promote that here. We promote happiness. We promote love. We promote relationships, healthy, right relationships. We promote all those things. So we talk about sacred masculine show. There is no young man, whether we're talking about the brother serving some time or, you know, someone in that's a clergyman, not being considered sacred masculine. We cover a wide range of individuals. Definitely wanted to be clear about that. So from the rich to the poor, from the poor to the rich.
That's right. That's right.
We definitely have some information, but we also got some songs. This is an interesting show. I mean, we're just kind of kicking back, having a conversation, sharing some information for folks, some interesting songs that we want to share with folks that are relevant to the topic at hand. I want to get started with the first song. if you will. If you're okay with that, Mr. St. John?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead. Run the show.
This particular show, this particular song, I think is relevant to today's topic. In fact, I know it is. I want to share a snippet of it for our for the folks that are listening. And I'm back. I just wanted to say that, you know, I love that song. And the bass line, if you like the bass, you know, like I do, that bass line, it starts out, it's, they mean business when they play that song.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's I like that word that you use. You said they mean business. And that's exactly what business is about, right? For the most part, there's two sides of it. It's sort of like a dichotomy. You have the business side that is, or rather you have the side of the business that actually deals with commerce, you know, deals with earnings, it deals with that bottom line, it deals with staying in the black and not being in the red, you know, it deals with the income and revenue and cash flow, right? Then there's the other side of the business that often is sometimes overlooked or misconstrued or, you know, sometimes forgotten, but those people that kind of hold it in the forefront are the people that I believe succeed or should succeed. If they stay at it, they will succeed. That's the purpose of the business, the why, the what do you do, the actual reason, the cause of why you did it. You know, in the school, you mentioned that I'm a proud graduate of the Earl Gray School of Business and Management at the great Morgan State University. Well, one of the things that I learned while there during my time and tenure there, it was that the people that are at the top, the people that are in management, tend to know why something needs to be done, tend to know why this product or service needs to be offered to the public, tend to know why this whole ship has to sail, if you will. And what you do is you turn around and then hire those that know what to do or know how to get it done. So definitely so. You know, I appreciate that song. That song is definitely a motivator. And that bass line, you can't really miss with that bass line, huh?
No, sir. No, sir. You know, the one thing I want to say, you know, we talk of somebody's like, oh, well, I thought this was a sacred masculine show. I thought they were going to talk about God. I thought they were going to talk about, you know, whomever their deity is. The reality is that none of us want to be poor or broke, or whatever words we use to demonstrate that there's a lack. And so what the Sacred Masculine Show is also is about is creating wealth, prosperity, abundance, all the things that God wants for us. And what better way to talk about that than on this show? Because we have folks, you know, this is a demonstration that we have folks in the community who are serving, who are providing, who are assisting people reach their goals. And in this case, their financial goals. And so, you know, I definitely want to introduce that concept because I don't want folks to see money as a bad and evil thing. I think all too often when folks talk about wealth, you know, the rich are seen as evil and wicked. We're here to talk about the fact that some good things come from having money. You know, college, you just mentioned yourself as being a college graduate. You know, college debt is paid that way. You know, people who have children, you know, a lot of things, a lot of great things. You can provide service in the community because you have the money to provide that. I was taken back when I was talking to a young man who didn't understand why there needed to be a budget to provide service in the community. And the first thing I said to him was, well, you got to have money to pay the people who's going to work. Nobody's going to do, you know, this for free. So we're here to talk about all these things, you know, that your level of expertise, your area of expertise. We want to also give people an opportunity to call and talk about that. So when the time is right, I will give the number for those of you who are new, and we can really give folks an opportunity to ask some questions that are relevant to this topic and, you know, give them a chance to really go deeper about how they can make their money. But I want to also give you an opportunity, Ms. St. John, to share this question. What do you do? Like, share with the public, what do you do?
Right. You know, we're definitely going to get to what I do, and I know it's probably what everyone is wondering in terms of listeners. I just want to touch base on one thing that you mentioned that I thought was key. You mentioned that people are listening and saying, you know, and so I thought this was going to be about God and spirituality. Why are they talking about money? Well, to those people, I want to say, I want to recommend a book. I want to recommend a book called The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace D. Wattles. If you in any way doubt that or separate, you know, the two, money and spirituality, if you in any way feel that those two are mutually exclusive, you need to read that book. You need to check that book out because in that book, you know, he talks about your God-given right to earn and be happy, your God-given right to carry out your talents. Let me ask you a question. So if you were to have a gift, let's say you have a gift, and what you're doing right now is a gift. You are a person that can speak to others and bring forth information to help to bring thought out of them, inspire thought, and help them to better themselves. Well, what greater way to get out, to get your gift out, to help more people than to actually have the means to do so? So here's what I'm talking about. So you have one person that says, you know what, I have a gift. I can help people heal by just speaking to them and helping them through their issues, helping them through their problems. I make them feel better. Okay, well, that person says, I'm not going to focus on earning or making anything for my gift. I just want to do it and bless their heart. They do it, and they touch, you know, quite a few people in their lifespan. You know, they may come in contact with those people via phone. They may come in contact with those people in person. You know, but do you have to be a poor righteous teacher? I don't know. Here's the thing, because you have a second person that says, yeah, well, you know what, I have the same gift, but I am going to allow myself to earn in having that gift, and in doing so, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take those earnings and then turn around and help to promote my gift and bring my gift even further. So I'll then turn around and have a radio show. Right, I'm going to turn around and have a radio show, and if they don't give me the radio show that I want, I'm going to use my financial power to get the radio show that I want. I'm going to get on that station, and I'll buy the station if I have to. Right, then you have the other person that says, hey, look, you know what, I have the same gift, but I'm going to buy a TV network, and I'm going to call it OWN because it's going to be mine. Right? So you have three people with the same gift, but – you know, and he talks about in The Science of Getting Rich, he talks about the God-given right for you to earn. He talks about how God actually wants us all to be able to use our gifts for the betterment of others, because once you do that, then he gets to go further. You know, God goes further the further you go. And so you're going to spread good things by having those gifts. But you have to, you know, it takes things. It literally takes things to carry out those gifts in grand scale and magnitude. Right. So I just wanted to touch base on that, and just let your listeners know that those two are not mutually exclusive. Please, pick up that book by Wallace D. Wattles called The Science of Getting Rich. Now, getting down to what I do, I get that question a lot. I get that question a lot. And basically, in a nutshell, I try to help people to be a blessing and not a burden.
Right.
I try to help people to be a blessing, not a burden. What do I mean by that? Well, basically, how sometimes you ever notice how we run out of time before we run out of ideas or opportunities?
Absolutely.
Sometimes, you might know what age you want to retire. Or at least slow down, because these days people don't want to really retire, right? They're saying, oh, no, I'm going to keep going. So the retirement age is kind of getting pushed further and further out there, right? So people might say, you know what, I'm not going to retire. I'm never going to retire. I'm going to work until I drop. Right? Oh, and that's okay, but you might want to slow down one day. And so a lot of us know the age we want to slow down, but don't quite know exactly how we're going to be able to do that because of the financial piece. Right, so when am I going to retire? Well, I like to retire at this particular age. I like to retire at 65. I like to retire at 50. I like to retire at 58. I like to retire at 67. Now, how much do you want to have in the bank on the day of retirement to be comfortable with still retiring, to be comfortable with the idea of walking away from that steady income? And that's where the question is based out of. So now that's what I help people with. Sometimes
right.
People, they may have a retirement plan that is tax infested. Is your retirement income plan tax infested? What does that mean? That means that if you think you have $500,000 in a vehicle that's going to pay out to you in your retirement, has that vehicle been taxed already? How is that vehicle going to be taxed? Is that $500,000 really going to be $500,000 after you touch it? Right. So is your retirement income plan tax infested? Have you changed jobs in the last 10 years, and left an old 401k behind? It's funny about that. Here's what's funny about that. People leave their jobs and they have a tendency of leaving their money in that old 401k. Oh, I'll come back to that one day. I'll get that. They leave that money in that old 401k. Let me ask you this. If you bought a house, lived in that house, and sold that house, okay, and moved on to another house, but then you left in that old house your big screen, your big 50 or 60-inch TV, wouldn't you want to go back and get it?
Absolutely. You watch the game on that. Watch the fight.
Exactly. It's the same concept. You don't want to leave a job and leave that money back there for that old company to benefit from, right? So that's what I help people with. That's what I do. I help people to develop a pension if they don't have a pension. I help people in the bottom line to keep their promises that they made to their family to have this house paid off by a certain time. Regardless of what happens in life, we will be able to pay off this house. Let's say we don't have a house. We will be able to buy a house sometime. And this is, the man talking to the wife, talking to his spouse, and he says, look, honey, I know we're struggling right now, but, one day I'm going to pay this house off, or one day we're going to get out of this apartment, and we're going to buy a house. Okay, well, what if you don't make it to one day?
Right.
What if you, as an individual, as the leader of your house, the leader of your home, all right, the sacred masculine, right, you don't make it to that one day, then what does your family have to do? What does that wife that you made all those promises to have to do? How are they going to be able to still pay off that house? How are they going to be able to get out of that apartment and still buy that house? Or do all your promises go into the grave with you? And so that's what I help people with. That's what I do.
What's interesting, all too often we do put aside the future for tomorrow. And sometimes, we do it as if we have a calculated understanding of when we're going to make our transition, but most often we all know that that's not something that's planned. It would be nice if we kind of say, okay, I'm going to be 99 years old, and I'm going to be surrounded by 30 virgins, and I'll be on the beach. No, it doesn't happen that way. Oftentimes, like you just said, folks make their transition to join the ancestors when they haven't completed their plan. And a nice example of that is the brother Malcolm X. And I'm mentioning him because he's also on the stream of pictures for the show. And, you know, the brother Malcolm X had done so much work in the community and worked so hard. However, he wasn't able to plan accordingly for his family. And as a result, you know, we all know the story. And so, that's why it's so important. That's just someone that we know in public. You know, there's so many stories about just regular people having the same stories. And I'm sure you could probably attest to the families, the number of families that you're familiar with that got to scramble to get this money to bury someone.
Definitely. So I can tell you a story, actually. So there was one quite a few years back, I worked at a particular organization, and we had about a little over 100 employees, and we had associates and so forth. And you know, it was a tight-knit crew. Everyone, although it was that large of a staff, and for some people, some of your listeners, that's not even a staff yet. That's not even the office staff. But you know, for us, that was a large staff, right? 100 people, a little over 100 people. So everyone chipped in. Everyone, you know, worked real hard. Everyone played their part in this big machine. And one of the hardest working gentlemen that you will ever meet, the nicest guy, hardest working gentleman you'll ever meet. Every time he used to see me, he would, "Que pasa? Que pasa, amigo? Que pasa?" is what he says to me. And I'm telling you, he would say that to me like 10 times a day if he saw me 10 times a day. Right, so he always had a great attitude and, nice guy. After one evening, he went home and had dinner, I guess, and did whatever his evening routine would be. And, he went to sleep. Never woke up. Now, we get the news the next day. So what do you think everybody did? Everybody's chipping in. Now, this is a staff of 100 people or, you know, a little bit more. So everybody's chipping in. Everybody's doing what they can to contribute to the family because the family did not have anything in place, any life insurance in place to, or at least not enough in place to even deal with his final expenses. Now, he was the main breadwinner, so they had issues. They had things that they would have to deal with. Okay, like immediately, everything became an emergency. I know they had plans, but no one planned for him to go to sleep that night and not wake up, right? So like you said, you know, no one expected that. So everybody's scrambling, everybody's chipping in, and we all chipped in. And so after a while, the family was able to get together enough money, enough funds to hand over to the funeral home and have those exit services done and send them off in a respectable manner. And literally at that service, I walk out. I was one of the managers. So the other manager in the organization, the company, he pulled me to the side when he saw me walking out. And he says, "I need to talk to you." I said, "Okay, well, you know, what's going on?" So he pulled me aside. He said, "I just got word that," and, you know, I'll keep the names, you know.
Absolutely.
But,
sure.
That another employee had passed.
Mm.
And that news came the same day of the funeral of the first one. Now, here's where it gets tricky, as if it hasn't already. Here's where it gets tricky. What happened when the first employee passed? Everyone chipped in, right, because there was no, you know, there was no insurance in place. The family needed help. Everyone chipped in. Now, the next one passes, and everyone is trying to chip in, but can they chip in the same way? They didn't expect that. So now, you know, everyone's trying to chip in, but they're not able to chip in the same way because they didn't who expected two employees to pass within 2.5 weeks, once within a 2.5 week time frame. So the contributions that were given for the first employee that passed were a lot higher and a lot more generous, if you will, than those that were given for the second employee that passed. How do you think that second employee's family felt?
Yeah, they felt slighted, I'm sure.
Of course. but it was not a situation of slighting them. It was an economic situation. That was a financial problem. That was a financial problem in on multiple levels, right? That was a financial problem because the family, first and foremost, did not have anything to continue. They did not have enough to handle the losses of their loved ones themselves, okay? Number two, it was a financial problem because the people that were contributing, people that were trying to help, the people that were, you know, his coworkers, his associates, the other employees were trying to jump in and help for the first one. They did that. They gave generously because they didn't expect the second one. So by the time the second one came up, they didn't have enough money to do it again because at the end of the day, you know, they're not making a whole lot of money to begin with. Okay? So now the family felt like, well, you gave this much to that person. They were able to raise this much. Why is it that we can't raise that much? And they start to take it personal. It's not a good feeling. Not a good feeling at all to be on either end of that, the receiving end or the giving end. And this is why I say the main issue there was insurance, was more specifically life insurance. You know, for a small amount, for just writing a small check, you know, on a monthly basis, a lot of those problems would have been alleviated. Completely alleviated, and on top of that, the families would not have to have downgraded their lifestyle. See, if you downgrade your life because of the passing of a family member, then that adds an additional struggle, an additional mourning, an additional weight to the loss of this family member. You're going to mourn emotionally, but what I try to do is help you not to suffer as much financially.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Thank you. Death is very much a part of life, or transition. I'd rather say that because, you know, there's something, you know, some of us believe there's something greater or better, or even if it's just peace on the other side. And so I definitely want to encourage folks to consider that, you know, consider the stories that you've shared so they could, you know, in their lives, be a part of their family's future and not a part of their family's detriment. In their transition. We got another song, though, if you don't mind. I want to share a very special song, you know, to me. I'm sure it's a special song to you as well, because this song is by a gentleman who, you know, as we talk about transitions, you know, he made his transition recently. In his sleep. But, you know, he really was committed to making sure people realize their dreams. So I want to share this song by B.B. King, called No Money, No Luck Blues.
The late great.
Yes, sir. And here we go. Thank you. song. That song says a lot. That song says a lot.
Yes, sir.
Oh man.
Late great B.B. King, my all-time favorite.
Yes, sir.
My all-time favorite blues artist and musician. Him and Lucille. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And those words. And if you even listen to the words of those songs of that particular song, you know, he talks about. He talks about not having anything, you know, which is a story, a narrative, unfortunately, that a lot of people share and have within certain communities and even outside, because it's a class thing, it's an income class thing. And so, he also talks about a custom thing as well. He says in there, when he had a good job, he will help out just about any friend of
mm-hmm.
his.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's something, isn't that a tendency that we have? You know, when you have it good, you want to help folk.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that's a great thing. I think that's a great thing. But I often go back to the great written words. It says, "Lend less than you own it, right? And give less than you owe it." And so, all right, I think lend less than you owe it and give less than you own it. And so. Yeah, we talk about management and wealth management and financial discipline in what I do when I do my free consultations with people. I sit down with them at the office there, and we're centered out of Columbia, and also have an office out in Bethesda, and we try to have the approach of. Look, let's see what's going on. Let's see where the actual money is. So, you know they used to say, show me the money.
Right?
So we would literally find it because, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, you know what, I can't afford life insurance. I just don't have it. I just can't afford an additional payment. Well, you know what, let's not make it an additional payment. Let's make it, you know, something or rather an additional expenditure. Let's make it something that we will float from someplace else in your budget that you're putting some other monies into. Now, am I saying take food off the table? No. And not feed your children? Absolutely not. It has to be a number that or an amount that you're comfortable with setting aside. And then what my job is to maximize whatever you're comfortable putting aside to make sure that can return to you and the family the maximum possible given the relative constraints. So what do I mean by that? So yeah, we look at where the money's going first and foremost, right? I've sat down with people that said, oh, you know, I don't think I have anything. I said, sure you do. Everybody does. We just need to find it.
Right.
And so what did we do? We look and see where she was spending. I'm speaking about a particular young lady. So we sat down with her, and she thought she had nothing to contribute toward the security, the financial protection or security of her family. And lo and behold, we found about, I want to say, an additional $7,000 a year.
Wow.
And this was in fast food and, ready for this, cigarettes.
Mm.
Fast food and cigarettes. So that's where we have the serious talk. That's where we have a serious conversation. That's when the real questions come out. Say, look, you know, what's more important to you? Your daughter, and making sure that she does not have to depend on anyone if you're not here, at least not depend on anyone in the way that she would have to if she had no funds, no money. Is your daughter's college future or educational funding more important to you than the cigarettes or the amount of times we go to Starbucks? You know, you'd be surprised with what people do with $10 a day. You'd be surprised with what people do with $10 a day. I'll challenge your listeners. You know, think about it. What do you do with $10 a day?
Okay, we're back online. I'm not sure what happened. Maybe Wi-Fi. But definitely want to apologize to folks for that brief delay. Mr. St. John, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, we're back. You know, modern technology, you know, you push forward. This is such as life, and, you know, we're often faced with adversities, and you keep rolling. And so I wanted to pick back up at the conversation that we were in
I believe that.
I think somebody just got super excited and wanted to know, you know, what I do with $10 a day is I pay this phone line. So they said, let me disconnect this Wi-Fi for $10 a day. I'll save $10 a day that way. No, but, you know, what I was saying was that you know, we got to evaluate what we do with $10 a day. And in doing so, we have to then ask ourselves, what would we rather that $10 a day be able to secure for ourselves and our family? You know, that's what I help people with. You know, when I found the extra $7,000 and change annually from the young lady's budget, that you know, spent a whole lot of money or spent that on cigarettes and fast food, I asked her, you know, which one does she love the most? She said she didn't know. She didn't realize how she was spending on that on an annual basis. And so we had to break it back. And I said, look, you don't have to give it up completely. I would love for you to give up cigarettes. You know, by the way, one of the things that I do is life insurance. I also do retirement and investment planning on my life insurance side of the business. I would love for you to give up cigarettes because that way I can actually reduce your premium significantly.
Absolutely.
It's as if we're paying you, as if we're not paying you, but it's as if we're paying you to not smoke. Why? Because you are actually experiencing a dramatic savings, or if you look at it the other way, you're spending a whole lot more if you do. So, but at any rate, so what we did was we found some of the funds that she could use to put toward her goals of securing her family. And we, in the same time, with a single stroke, were able to reduce the amount of money she was spending at the gas stations. So here's what she did. She would always go to the gas stations in the morning. That's where she would get her cigarettes. And so, you know, we talked about why are you stopping at the gas stations in the morning and getting the cigarettes. Well, that's where she got a cigarette. So she got anytime she got gas, she got cigarettes. And in terms of fast food, she would start out her day with Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks. And then that would also turn into lunch. And she may stop at a gas station or someplace to pick up a snack on the way back. And guess what she picked up with that snack? Cigarettes. Mm. So before you turn around, before you even realize it, just by cutting out one of those gas station visits, we cut out a snack and we also cut out a cigarette purchase. You know, a purchase of a pack of cigarettes. So we helped to reduce the amount of cigarettes that she smoked and also the amount of money that she was putting out toward the cigarettes, and we reduced the amount of fast food she's eating. Okay, this is all good stuff right here, right? And reduce the amount of money she's spending towards fast food, take a portion of that, put toward an insurance policy, a life insurance policy that she now sees she can, you know, more than afford. And now that instantly secured the future of her family and her mom and her daughter.
Right.
Well, her family, including her mom and her daughter.
Well, and we're by no means passing judgment on anyone who decides that, you know, nicotine is their friend or that they will, you know, they want to stop smoking cigarettes when they're ready. However, we do want to encourage the cessation of cigarettes because of the quality of life that one could have. So I definitely want, you know, some folks get really angry with you when they feel like they're being attacked based on their choices.
Absolutely, especially when you have nothing to offer them in exchange, right?
Absolutely.
No, we're not saying, look, you know, it's cigarette, stop the cigarette smoking because it's going to kill you. People pretty much know that, right?
Right.
So it's like, oh, Captain, here comes Captain Obvious over here, right? He's going to tell me that the cigarettes can give you cancer, and that's going to make me have this, you know, sudden epiphany, and I'm going to just put the cigarette out and never touch it again. He thinks I'm smoking because I think that cigarettes do not give cancer, right? So that's not where we're coming from when we you know, present the idea. When we present the idea, we're just giving you a choice. We're saying,
right,
look, you know, here's what we can give you in exchange for what you're spending in cigarettes. And for most people, you know, that's a huge incentive. A monetary incentive, for some reason, is a pretty good incentive for most people that have someone or have loved ones that they want to, you know, are protected financially or are going to be okay should they not be able to return home one day.
Right, right. And I get it. So yeah, absolutely. So you know, if I may, we have another song. We have two more songs, but I want to go into another song. Do you think we're ready for some calls though? Right after this.
Sure.
So I wanted to definitely bring in this next song, which I think is very appropriate. You know, we talk about people who do what they want to do, but in the midst of them doing what they want to do, how that behavior affects other people and how that behavior is used. So I want to share this song, and I hope that folks, you know, definitely see the connection in the conversation that we're having. I think I was reminded of how long of an intro this song has.
I think that was the instrumental.
Okay.
Because the words would have come in a lot sooner on the original. I think that was probably the instrumental.
Okay, yeah, you know, I think you're right. But if everyone knows that song is Papa Was a Rolling Stone, wherever he laid his hat was his home, and when he died, all he left us was alone.
Exactly, and those are the lyrics. Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir, brother. So we merge the lyrics. That's how we keep it moving. We merge the lyrics with the instrumental. Now in your mind, you just got to put those two together, listeners. We just got to put those two together. And the reason I like that song is because, you know, at the end it says, you know, when he died, all he left us was alone. Right? Now, obviously that means alone as in by ourselves. Okay? However, you know, in a lot of cases, what is left is, yeah, you leave them alone by themselves, but you also leave them alone, a loan that was not paid off.
Right.
So you know, you don't want to be in either of those situations, especially the latter of the two. And obviously, you're going to leave them alone because you're not there, but do you have to leave them a loan that was not paid off, a car note, a outstanding debt, you know, a mortgage. You know, what I try to do, I try to help people to not leave their family alone, a loan that was not paid off that will be held against your estate. There's a lot of misconceptions as to what happens to debt after someone passes. Okay, there's a lot of misconceptions. In a lot of cases, that debt can be held against the estate. Okay, so what we try to do is we try to make sure that if you're going to leave them with nothing, if you are indeed only in a position to leave them with nothing, then let's make sure that we are truly leaving them with nothing, which means no debt.
Right.
None of that mess that you accumulated while you were here. Right? Leave them with nothing if you're going to leave them with nothing. Don't leave them under. Okay? And if we're able to, you know, on top of that, leave them with something, which is always the goal. And you know, we do three stages in the plan. We do a protection plan, financial protection. We do financial accumulation when I talked about the old 401ks a little bit earlier, and we also do financial distribution. So yeah, basically what we're saying is, look, if you're going to leave them with nothing, that's the base, that's the bottom, which means you leave them with no mortgage because we were able to pay off the mortgage, right? You leave them with no car notes. We were able to pay those off. We leave them with no pending student loans because we don't need student loans anymore. Why not? Because we already have enough that was left behind by daddy to pay for college, right? I often, when I'm invited to a client's home, for a family function, and I walk into that house and I see, you know, that picture over the mantle, you know, I always know instantly whether or not a legacy was left when I see that picture, or if I see that picture, I should say. If there's a picture over the mantle, I know a legacy was left, because normally that picture that's over the mantle is not someone that's here with us today. Normally that picture that's over the mantle is someone that was here with us yesterday that cared enough about today, although they were not going to be here to see it. Normally that picture is someone, a great grand or a grand or a great great grand even, that cared enough to put some things in place to leave a legacy. You know, even if that was just to pay off the house that they're living in right now, and the deal was you put my picture on that mantle. It was done, and that's the legacy, and that's what we try to help people to do.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, all too often, folks, like you said, I like that play on words. You know, he left us alone instead of A-L-O-N-E. We talking about a loan, A-L-O-A-N. You know,
exactly.
Loan. You know, whether that's a car note, a mortgage, whatever loans he done took out to help provide for the family when he was here that he was paying on, that now you guys have inherited. I know I'm not alone, and for the rest of the folks out there, when I say that I don't want my children to inherit my debt, I'd rather they inherit, you know, the wealth. You know, we've heard the jokes about I'm worth more dead than alive, and to some degree that's true. If you make the right investment. Absolutely.
That's right. Be a blessing, not a burden.
Absolutely.
If you leave your family with any of your debt, you are being a burden, because already they have to now to figure out the final expenses. They have to figure out how are we going to take care of, and how are we going to honorably, respectfully, and with love and the emotion that we have for this loved one, you know, for the leader of the household, how are we going to handle his final expenses? Okay, they have to figure that out. That's an emotional roller coaster for those folks that have gone through it. It's not an emotional roller coaster, because it doesn't go up. There's no up end to that. It's just down. It's like an emotional trench, I should say. Okay, so they already have to figure that part out. Then have to turn around and figure out how are they going to deal with the debt that you left. Not a good thing. So, you know, when we talk about be a blessing and not a burden, which, by the way, that's a hashtag, you know, be a blessing, not a burden. So check it out. This hashtag, you know, that's trending right now. So be a blessing, not a burden. Be the one that leaves something and not nothing. And I'm using a double negative in the proper form right now. Not nothing, because you don't want to leave nothing.
Right.
You want to leave something.
Right. Well, I definitely am enjoying this. It's very insightful, I think, for those of us who really think back in our childhood, you know, family legacies. We're here live in Baltimore, Maryland, you know, and Baltimore is, in fact, a blue-collar town where folks have worked, you know, historically at the shipyard, GM, Bethlehem Steel, and all of the things that I've just mentioned have downsized. And so there's a lot of folks who maybe aren't even with us today that work there, and even those industries have closed businesses. And so it's important that we talk about providing the right information to the right people at the right time, so that those who come after, those descendants who come after, they're not, you know, in a bad place, you know, looking for other options to make money or find themselves, you know, because we forget how often finances affect so many other things in your life, even your mental health. I mean, there are some people who, because they are poor or feeling, at least they feel poor, they are depressed. They suffer from anxiety.
As a man thinketh.
Absolutely. And so we're encouraging this on so many levels because it affects so many things on so many levels. And so it's important that we really do take this serious. Families have built wealth off of insurance and other investments. I mean, the truth is we're all going to go. You know, you tell me someone who isn't going to go, I want to sit and really talk to them. But
well, you got a lot of time because they're not going anywhere, right?
Yeah, right. And the truth is, if that's the case in their life, you know, because we're all going to go, what are you going to do with that? Because we're going to go, how can you make it work for your family who's coming after you? Because we have many of people with you know, a lot of descendants, a lot of family members who, you know, they have children and extended family members and folks who really could benefit and build legacies, financial legacies for themselves and their families.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned a good point. You brought up a pretty good point there. You know, when we think about life insurance, you know, and that's just one leg of what we do. But when we think about life insurance, we think of it as this thing that this taboo area. We can't talk about it because if we talk about it, then we're going to, you know, we're planning to leave this place. And the last thing we want to do is leave this place. Well, guess what, folks? If you don't talk about it, you're going to leave anyway. Let's talk about the inevitable. And what you mentioned was that, you know what, it helps to build wealth. It does. That's the single most immediate and magnified return, the greatest return for the buck, okay, the greatest bang for the buck, the greatest return for your investment, and the quickest way to build and create generational wealth, the single quickest way to build and create generational wealth is through life insurance. And then we deal with the accumulation portion of it, you know, when you're putting aside some money for the rainy day. You know, you put aside some money so that, you know, when you retire, you'll have some money to play with. That we can do that as well. We do that as well all day long. We do it well. We deal with accumulation. We have you can set up Roth IRAs with us and so forth. There's a lot of different ways. People say, okay, well, what do you do? Well, you know what I do. I do life insurance, retirement, and investments. I try to help people keep the promises they made to their family members throughout their lives. You know, next, why do I do it? I do it because I care. I do it because I think that this is an important part of the puzzle that we have not been focusing on, or a lot of people have not been focused on. Over 70%, or just about 70% of Americans are underinsured, are not insured or underinsured, which means that they do not have enough insurance, life insurance, to pay off everything that they want paid off and leave a legacy for their family.
Okay.
So they are underinsured or not insured at all. And so that's a dangerous place to be in. So I do that because I want to change that number. Okay, and that's one single way to create generational wealth.
Okay. And thank you for sharing that. I think we definitely need to address that. So we got about 3 minutes left. I think it's time that we do consider taking some calls. I want to recite this number. It is 646-929-0630. And when you come on, you will press 1 to come in. Again, 646-929-0630. 646. Go ahead.
No, go ahead with the number.
Yeah, 646-929-0630.
Okay, and for those of us that can't, for those of you that cannot get through today, you can always shoot me an email. I'm also on Twitter. You can do hashtag be a blessing, not a burden. And you can email me at atleystjohn@gmail.com. That's ATLEYSTJOHN@gmail.com. You can email your questions there as well. You know, so that's one. Those are two ways to stay in the conversation, and hopefully, if this has been informative enough, maybe we'll be able to come back.
Sure, absolutely. We definitely will have you back. I mean, there's so many opportunities out there for folks to build wealth. They're not just about investing in life insurance, but we could also talk about the variety of services that you provide. That I'm sure folks will be happy to hear. We're winding down. We have just under 2 minutes.
definitely want to, if anything else, Mr. St. John, you want to just share as we close up that it will be important to folks to know.
Well, you know, one of the things that I like to share is that this is all about education. It's all about education and knowing what you don't know, learning about more of what you don't know.
Right.
And that's one of the biggest boundaries, one of the biggest boundaries or greatest boundaries between that creates the wealth divides and the income divides when it comes to families, one family living in one area and another family living in another area. So, you know, it's all about education. What we try to do is educate. We try to educate those that are really strapped with those questions as to how do I leave a legacy? You know, how do I've worked hard all my life, and now I have to, you know, I'm strapped with medical expenses for everyday living. How do I get here? I don't want to have a family member dependent on me. I don't want to depend on a family member. You know, we try to help through education.
Yeah. So, you know, thank you for sharing that. As we wind down, just want to thank folks. And, you know, he shared his information, Mr. St. John. I want to thank folks for tuning in. I want to invite you back every third Thursday to the Sacred Masculine Show. And we will see you again at another place and another time. I'm your host, Reverend Jay, and Atlee St. John. We are signing out.